Welcome to the Inside Out Show. I'm Devin Almonte, and together we are learning to see the world through God's eyes and doing our best to live that out in our everyday. Coming up today, I have our anchor point for us. This is relatively new, so I want you to know what to expect. The Inside Out podcast actually has two parts. There's our daily anchor point devotional, which drops every weekday to ground us in truth. And then we've got the Inside Out show, which is on Thursdays. That's the longer format where we start with an anchor point. Then we talk a little more news, culture, and everyday life, all the happenings from the week. Why keep it all together in one podcast? I mean, technically I could split it up, but after praying about it, it just felt right. Because what I'm working on for myself is trying not to segment my faith into all these different boxes, because our faith, it is a whole way of living. It's not just encouragement. It's not just Bible study. It's not just Sundays. It's not just apologetics or news. So this podcast is meant to reflect that, us in our everyday devotion and discipleship, all kind of woven together in how we process the world around us. So that's what we've got going on now. All right, today's anchor point, it's all about what we see on the surface. And is that the same as what's underneath? I think that matters. And then we're going to lighten things up a little bit with the Ig Nobel Awards. This is where scientists they do some kind of hilarious, ridiculous studies, ask absurd, off-the-wall questions like, can you paint cows as zebras? Can you do that? Did that really happen? Yes, it did. And finally, the big story we're talking about today, digital IDs. The UK just rolled out a plan that could make no ID, no job a reality. What is at stake with this? And what are we really seeing? Is this convenience and efficiency or control? All that's ahead. I don't know if you've looked for a new house recently and gone around with the real estate agent. You walk into like a brand new house, and you're doing the tour thing, and it's, wow, this house is amazing. It's perfect. The paint is all fresh. The fixtures are all modern. The counters are spotless. It looks like an HGTV house. When we were in the process of moving, we looked at a house like that. I mean, sometimes you see some terrible houses, but this one in particular was the perfect HGTV house. It had the right layout, the right colors, the latest amenities. And so in those moments, yes, this is great. You know, we're ready to move in. On the spot. We want what we saw. But here's the thing. I knew this builder of this particular house. They do tons of communities. They're a big builder. I'm not going to say who they are, but they do houses all over the country, big neighborhoods and developments. And their reputation is not so good. They kind of come in quickly. They're in and out very quickly. Sure enough, we talked to some of the neighbors as well. And we heard story after story of unfinished projects and leaks and contractors who never came back and cracks in the foundation, which is so sad. I mean, that should never happen. But when you look at the surface level, and the reason people bought these houses is because they look amazing on the surface. But was all that amazing just temporary? Paul talks about this exact idea in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Regarding this house, I mean, I guess we could say we were fixing our eyes on the temporary. We liked that it reflected all the modern living and useful appliances, that kind of thing. But with this builder, the scene wasn't going to last very long. What we really needed to do was to see what was beyond surface level, look beyond the foundation to truly see the condition of the house, like the bones of the house. And it did not have very good bones. So that's a house. Paul was not talking about a house. He was really talking about his life in many ways. He walked away from, if you know anything about Paul, he had a pretty kind of prestigious life as a Pharisee. And he traded all of that in and chose a life of hardship, suffering, and persecution, all for the Lord. And so in a way, if Paul were the house that we were touring, we'd see a house in horrible condition. no thanks. This is a wreck. This is a total mess and disaster. But Paul knew something that the world could not see, that there was an eternal weight of glory of Christ being forged through it all, the foundation. That's why he gave up the shiny life and prestigious life of the Pharisee. That had cracks all over it. It looked okay on the outside, but he surrendered that. Isn't that so true for life? I mean, I don't know what your week to week is like. I mean, we are bombarded with what is visible. We are reacting and responding to the latest trends. We go after the things that feel fun and convenient or even right in the moment. Houses that look all nice and shiny on the outside. But if we only live at that surface level, we are going to miss those deeper realities, the fundamental truths and relationships that actually shape our lives and last beyond today. I think Charlie Kirk saw that and lived on that foundation, not the surface. Maybe the question isn't, does this look good? Is this thing good? But what is this built on? That question applies everywhere. Our relationships, our work, our families, our churches, our communities. If we only pay attention to the surface, we are going to miss the heart of what really matters, the deeper issue. What is holding this up and will it last? So that's the lens I want us to carry into today's stories, particularly our main story today on digital IDs, because sometimes what seems silly or harmless or even super convenient has got a lot more going on beneath the surface. And if we don't stop to look there, to look closer, we might miss it. Now that our hearts are warmed up a little bit, let's lighten things up with a story that's painted a little differently. The Ig Nobel Awards ceremony just wrapped on September 18th. This annual event celebrates the weird, the wonderful, and the hilarious side of science. The event's organized by the Annals of Improbable Research, which is a science humor magazine based in the United States. It's held every year, traditionally at Harvard University, and it celebrates research that first makes people laugh and then think. Why is it called Ig Nobel, I-G-N-O-B-E-L? Well, this is really, remember, a bunch of nerdy scientists and researchers, I guess, trying to be clever with a pun. And so they're combining ignoble, which means not noble or unworthy, with the esteemed Nobel Prize, which is quite worthy. So there you go. The whole thing is kind of a parody of the Nobel Prize Awards, but the studies that they do are actually real, like completely legit, just kind of absurd. For instance, some of the things that they've studied, one of them was to see if chickens had a preference for beautiful humans versus non-beautiful humans, I suppose. Another one, they wanted to find out if you sneeze less after a surgery, and it turns out that is true. This year's biology prize went to researchers in Japan who studied cows, well, sort of cows.
The biology prize. The Ig Nobel Biology Prize is awarded for their experiments to learn whether cows painted with zebra-like striping can avoid being bitten by flies.
We can even do this ourselves. We can pick our own project to do. Like, do this with your family even. Pick a goofy little project. What's something we can do like right at home? We have in our driveway, we get a lot of, we have trees right by our mailbox. And so a lot of times we'll have all these blackbirds sitting on the mailbox. Maybe I'll count how many blackbirds land on our mailbox between, when am I usually home? Like when the kids get home from school, like from 3 to 5, I'll count how many birds land on the mailbox. That'll be my study. Just pick something. You can figure out, see if you can figure out which cereal stays crunchy the longest in milk. There you go. Limitless fun. And also a really great way to keep your kids off their phones. So the big question is, and I left you in suspense, did painting the cows like zebras actually keep the flies away? Well, I'm still not going to tell you. I'm going to make you go over to our Facebook group. It's Insight Out Community. I would love for you to join. This is where we talk about all this stuff. We can kind of keep the conversation going because I love when you give your input too. It just makes it more alive, richer, deeper. Isn't that what we want? And of course, you could just look the answer up and Google it, but that's not fun. And if you happen to be driving and you do notice a field full of zebras on the side of the road, now you'll know why. All right, now let's shift gears a little bit here from the cow science and zebra stripes to something that probably hits a little closer to home. Over in the UK, the government just confirmed that if you want a job, you are going to need a digital ID stored right on your phone. Can you believe that? Basically saying, no ID, no job for you.
In what's being called Orwellian, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer just announced mandatory digital IDs. Take a look.
And that is why today I am announcing this government will make a new free of charge digital ID mandatory for the right to work by the end of this parliament. Let me spell that out. You will not be able to work in the United Kingdom if you do not have digital ID.
Now, he makes it sound like it's not that big of a deal, like this is just common sense, although he sounds kind of terrifying saying it. It'll make things faster. It'll make them safer, more secure. They say it will help prevent illegal employment and off-the-book kind of work. And so why would we not do this? This is a win-win in every possible way. And so, as we were talking about in the anchor point, on the surface, sure, that sounds good, looks good from what I can see, but we know things aren't that simple. Some cybersecurity experts are saying, hold on, wait a second, you're putting everybody's personal data into one massive database. That doesn't sound like the best idea. It's like, you might as well just put a giant target on it saying, this is the vault that you'd like to get into. This is where the hackers should come. Civil liberties groups are up in arms over this because they're concerned about increased government, surveillance, control, and I totally get that. It feels very unsettling. And here we are in the U.S. aware of what they're doing now. And there are a lot of different reactions because some people are saying, well, that's over there. That's never going to happen here. Not our issue. Other people say, oh my gosh, we're freaking out. It's only a matter of time. What happens there ends up happening here. It's like a wave, you know, the stirring of things happening there tend to make their way across the pond. It's going to happen. But what I don't hear as much talk about is, oh yeah, digital IDs. Well, that is already here in our country. And it is not exactly the same, but it is important for us to be aware of how they just slide these things in here and kind of quietly introduce these new programs. And before you know it, we've got a lot of digital tech working behind the scenes. So one of them you might be familiar with, you might have used it, ID.me, ID.me. Have you used it? This is how you log into IRS, Social Security, Veterans Affairs, even I think State Unemployment still uses it. It's a private company. It's also tied into telehealth, different licensing boards, and retail discounts. That's actually how I think this initially started under a different name. And on the surface, it looks like a modern day convenience. Why do we want to do things by pen and paper? It looks like efficiency. It helps keep our identities more secure. Oh my gosh, I got to share this. This was last year sometime. We had to contact the IRS for something and like, I remember this and I didn't want to use ID.me, ID.me, whatever, you get the idea. I didn't want to use that. And so I went with the IRS's video verification instead. You connect to this link, we're waiting. And then out of the blue, you know, suddenly my husband and I are face to face through the screen with some random guy, young guy in this small gray walled room. I mean, it looked like a prison cell, actually. Guy looks like a total gamer who hasn't slept or left the room in 2 weeks. And all I'm thinking is this guy's got my social security number and tax records in front of him. No smile, no warmth, just blank stare through the screen. And my whole body was just saying, this is wrong. This does not feel right. Have you ever had one of those gut reactions where, I mean, everything is telling you, no, I got to get out of here. That is how I felt. It was just so creepy. And it was probably the moment that I thought, well, maybe the government having access to my face on file and tracking my every move is the better alternative to this creepy basement guy. Anyway, whether it's ID Me or TSA that is using a lot of the facial recognition now at airports, or some states I think they've switched over to digital driver's licenses. I'm not 100% on that. If your state has done that, let me know. I think there are states at least pushing for that. Even LinkedIn, I had that come up. They give you the option to scan your face just to log into the platform. And this is a social platform. They know what they're doing because we love convenience. Things that are easy. Why pay cash when you can just click a button or have things on auto pay? And I fall for it too. I do this too because it makes things easier. I don't want things to drag on or have to go through all these hoops. But that's exactly the weakness that they know that we have. And the things are harder to do the other way. And so they fully take advantage of that. And yes, I know the world is advancing. Other countries are way ahead with all this digital ID stuff. And if we don't keep up, how are we going to travel? How are we going to do business globally? How are we still going to be a world leader? I hear all that. That's a big, important thing that we have to look at. But from a spiritual perspective, we just have to go back. Is keeping up really the most important thing? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. What I do know is this, that the more we build systems that strip away choice and freedom, the more we lose. The more we lose what actually matters. So we might advance, but we advance at a loss. Here's what I think it comes down to. Sin has a way of corrupting even the best systems. Fraud prevention sounds good. It sounds great until it crosses over and becomes surveillance. Convenience. I love convenience. It feels amazing until it becomes coercion. I really feel this because I've never been one who has done well with micromanagement. Have you ever had a boss that was a micromanaging type of boss? I've had that, and it was just a horrible experience because I work hard. I'm so totally self-driven. I just do better that way. I need the room to breathe and to think and create. It's kind of like telling an artist, you know, here's your canvas and here are the colors that you're allowed to use and here's the timer and this is when you have to finish each little portion and section. And sure, they're going to paint something that will probably look great, but it's not going to be art. It's just going to be following the rules. That's not life. That's not freedom. And we've seen this little pattern before. Government says, oh, don't worry. We'll never do that. And then just a few years later, if not like a week later, guess what? They do the thing that they said they would never do. Remember COVID? First it was, oh, we'll never require the vaccine. No, we would never do something like that to you. Don't be so silly.
Mr. Biden said he would be willing to get a vaccine. He would not require it for all Americans.
I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory, but I would do everything in my power. Just like I don't think masks have to be made mandatory nationwide.
Then
I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week. Some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. Already, I've announced, we'll be requiring vaccinations at all nursing home workers.
He goes on and on there saying how different healthcare departments and whoever, where they're going to require it. So you see what I mean? Social Security numbers. Back in the 1930s, they promised this is only to track retirement benefits. The cards, the Social Security card literally said not for identification. Fast forward to today, we need it for banking, jobs, volunteering, healthcare, everything. I'll give you one more. Income tax withholding. We probably don't even think about it. We're so used to it. But that withholding was supposed to be temporary just to help fund World War II. That was the whole point of income tax withholding. And they said, but don't worry, this will end after the war. You think that ended? I mean, look at your paycheck. You tell me. Milton Friedman, who actually helped design this program, said he realized he helped create this machinery for a government that was way too big, too intrusive, too destructive of our freedoms. And he wished he hadn't done that. He just wanted to find a way to support the war effort. He's only looking at the surface level. So you see what I'm saying? It goes from that, absolutely not, we would never do that, to, well, why don't we talk about it? Why don't we think about it? Let's just review this a little bit more. So where does all this lead? Well, I don't know. We'll see. But I can give you a little sneak peek, and we can look at China's social credit system just as an example of where things could possibly head. I pray and hope not, but it's worth looking at. Good old China started a social credit system. This was back in 2014, and it was really rolled out with the, I'm going to call it a marketing campaign, saying this is to reduce fraud in business. That was kind of the initial objective, which sounds reasonable, except it didn't really stay that way. It's really more full-on surveillance. If you jaywalk, you lose points. You criticize the government, you lose points. A low score on that point system might mean, well, you can't fly, you can't take trains, you can't get your kids into good schools. I did an episode on this a while back on the whole social credit thing. If you want to listen, that was, let me see here, that was back in June of this year. It's episode 20, if you want to listen to that. And so I think we need to talk about it. I think we need to go a little beyond the surface, because the pattern, it's typically the same when you see all this. Good intentions, usually, like a lot of these don't start off with bad intentions. It starts off with good intentions, and then you see gradual expansion, and then you see a drift and overreach, and then eventually just full out corruption. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" We don't need villains wearing devil horns for this to happen. It is just human nature. It is the fall of humanity. What also worries me is our constitutional rights. Not that we completely turn our back on our constitution and our rights. I mean, I hope not. I mean, but we are certainly continuing to erode it. Just for example, you know, keep your free speech. We're not going to do anything about that, but we're going to tell you where and when you can take your free speech, or we're going to deny you access to certain places. Unreasonable search and seizure by the government. Oh no, we're not going to do that to you, but we are going to force you to use this system so that we can track you to keep our country safe, which technically means that every scan and login is, it's effectively a warrantless search, isn't it? And like the freaky, scary basement guy on the IRS verification video, these systems are only as good as the people that are behind them. Psalm 118 verse 8 reminds us that it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. In Proverbs 22 verse 3, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. If we're driving, you're going down the road, and there's signs and warnings that the bridge is out, I sure hope, and I don't think you would, but I hope you don't keep driving at full speed and then blame God for not stopping you when we crash. We are called to pay attention, to be watchful, to be discerning, and to avoid these traps. So not paranoia, but we're not careless either. And so it's a high calling. We can't just sit around and close our eyes. Christ is our wisdom, and he gives us the eyes to see the danger so that we can walk in freedom. So yes, let's stay informed, opt out where we can, push for stronger guardrails, certainly. This whole digital identity and digital ID may well become a part of daily life, pulling us into all kinds of compliance-based submission. Our submission is not to a system, it is to Christ. Thankful for that, because his yoke is not heavy with control and burdens, it is light with grace and freedom, even in the midst of all this stuff, because we're on the right foundation. So that's the anchor that no one can touch. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. If this episode encouraged you, would you please take a second to like it and follow, or share with somebody you think might benefit, or even leave a review? I love reading your comments and just seeing your thoughts on it, or reviews, or what we talked about. I just love that. Your support helps more people find the show, which matters because this isn't just content. It is a labor of love. It's a mission for me, really. I do consider it an assignment from God. So I guess I am showing up for the assignment, and it is a joy and a privilege. So with that, remember to think differently, choose wisely, and let's live our lives Insight Out.